God is good, amen. Well, what we do here is we like for our kiddos to be in praise and worship, but during the time that we teach and preach, we like for them to go to children's church so that they can be taught the Word of God and encouraged. And so right now what we want all of our kids, now I don't want you running, okay, slowly. I want everybody to walk up here on stage. We're going to pray over our kids and bless them and send them to children's church. Just stretch out across the stage. Be careful. Praise God. Man, I got some exciting news for y'all that I can't tell you right now. All right. This right here is my girl standing right next to me. Yeah, Miss Faithy Hicks. All right, why don't you stretch forth your hands and let's bless these kiddos as they go. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for all of these wonderful kids. We thank you, Father God, that they are first in your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you watch over and you protect them. We thank you, Father, that as they go to children's church this morning, Lord, as the word is imparted to them, Father God, I thank you that they receive it and apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, go right out that door. Follow Miss Diana. Go to children. Be careful. We've been talking about, for the past couple of weeks, and we're going to finish up today, a series called A Church Without Walls. The first week, we talked about a church that without walls sees the need, sees the community, sees the opportunity to reach out into the community. We talked about the second week that a church without walls has a story to tell. You see, we discovered that the church is not about the building. The church is not about a facility. The church is not about anything other than the people. The people make up the church. And because of that, we realize and we learned last week that a church has a story to tell. And so today what we're going to talk about is a church without walls is an inviting church. Now there's two parts to that we'll talk about. The first part is the obligation that we have as individuals as part of the church to be an inviting church. And then we'll talk about the obligation that we as a corporate group, as a church, have an obligation as well to be inviting. So if you would, go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And we'll be starting in the 35th verse. And I'm going to pray while you're turning there. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you said that your word does not return void. And I thank you, Father God, that because of that we can apply your word to our lives. I thank you, Father God, that as we hearken unto your word and we listen to your word and we apply it to our lives and we renew our minds with it, Father God, that it helps us to live a victorious life, a blessed life, and a life that has meaning. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you encourage us and that you love us, that you watch over us and you protect us. Lord, I thank you that as we share your word this morning, Father God, that you give me stories to tell and ideas to share that will help each and every one of us, Father, as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 35, again the next day John stood with two of his disciples. Now this is John with his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." The thing that we want to talk about this morning, the thing that we want to see out of this passage of Scripture is that what we saw was that Andrew's brother, Simon, was invited by Andrew. And then we see a little bit further that that Nathanael was invited by Philip. We see that they were invited to come and to see Jesus. They didn't hesitate. They took it upon themselves to go and to invite people to come and to see Jesus because they knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for. You see, there's two reasons that they went and they told them and they went and they invited is because the first reason is this, because they had found the Savior. You see, that is the greatest reason that we can actually go out and to invite people to come to church or to invite people to meet Jesus or to invite people to go to a home meeting or invite people to come and sit and have lunch with you so that you can tell them about the love of Jesus. The greatest reason that we have to invite is because we have a Savior. That's the greatest reason. That is the main reason that we have a church, is to invite people in to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about our Savior, to tell them about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You see, next week we're going to celebrate Easter. Well, I don't know about you, I'm not celebrating Easter. Me and Steve were talking out there this morning. I'm not going to be celebrating Easter. I'm not going to be celebrating about Jesus hanging on the cross. I'm going to be celebrating about Resurrection Sunday. Okay? I'm going to be celebrating about the fact that my Jesus, not only did he die for me, not only did he hang on a cross for me, and he took all of my sins, all of my sickness, all of my sorrows, he took all of my pain, he took all of my poverty, he took it to the cross. But what we're going to be celebrating next week is the fact that our Jesus, he defeated all of that, he beat the cross, he beat the grave, and he's alive and doing well so that you and I have a risen Savior that we can tell people about. That's why we invite people to church. That's the reason that we invite them. Because we have a Savior. Listen, we have a doctor that goes to our church. She is an amazing doctor, Dr. Irwin. She's out here today. She's working. She is an amazing doctor. And I can guarantee you that if she was to write in the paper or to get on the news and say, "I have discovered a cure for cancer. All you've got to do is take this one little pill and you'll be healed of cancer immediately," I guarantee you people would flood to her office, right? They would. But you know what? We have a cure for the most terrible disease that's facing the earth today. The terrible, the most horrific disease that's facing our earth and our society, that's facing our children and our grandchildren, the most horrible thing that is facing all of them that they have in their lives, we have a cure for that. The cure is Jesus, and the thing that I'm talking about is sin. You see, we have a cure. And because of that, we should be excited that we should be going out and we should be telling people, "Man, let me tell you about the cure. I know that you're going through a hard time. I know that you might be sick. I know that you're having problems financially. I know that you might be addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol. I know that you might be going through some terrible family times. But I'm here to tell you that I know somebody. I can lead you to somebody that will help you get through that. I can lead you to somebody that will cause you to live victorious. I can lead you to somebody that can help you get past the addiction. I can lead you to someone that really loves you, that really cares about you, not just in words, He loves you so much that He died on the cross. It's not just about the words. We have a Savior. That's why we invite people to church. We have the cure. We have the cure. The second reason that we need to invite people is because of this. The one thing that Philip and Andrew and Simon and Nathaniel all recognized. The one thing that they recognized and the thing that we as Christians, every one of us have already recognized in our life is this, that we needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. And I'm here to tell you this, that if we would get a hold of the fact that our brother or our sister or our neighbor or our mom or our dad that's going through hell on earth, that is constantly struggling with addictions and problems in their life, if we would get a hold of the thought in our mind and get a hold of the thought that Nathaniel and that Simon and Philip had, that our family and our friends, they need a Savior. That's what they need. They need a Savior. That's what would encourage us to invite them to church. We know that we have the answers for them. They need a Savior. They need a Savior. It's important that we as Christians understand that we need to be inviting people to church. And over the years, this has probably been one of the biggest struggles that I have seen in the church, is that we get comfortable, we get complacent, we are very comfortable with where we're at. But the thing that I have noticed is that how that God blesses the people who actually do this, that are actually doing the Great Commission, that are actually going out and reaching the lost and inviting them to church and telling them about Jesus and telling them how to get saved. But a lot of times we allow fear to come in. As Christians, I believe that one of the greatest tools that the enemy has against us, which we all know that he came to kill, to steal, and destroy, because the Bible says so, but one of the greatest tools that he has against us is the spirit of fear. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. But a lot of times we allow that spirit of fear to come into our lives and it stops us and prevents us from receiving all that God has in store for us. All the blessings that He has for us. Most of the people that don't walk down the aisle to get saved, they don't walk down the aisle because of fear. Oh my gosh, what will somebody think? What will they say? A lot of people don't receive their healing from God because they've got some kind of thought in their mind, some kind of fear, some kind of conceptual thinking that somebody has put there, that when God heals you, He's going to zap you down and you're going to flop around and convulse and spit and chew and yell and scream and quack like a duck. And it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. A lot of people don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they think that they totally lose control of themselves and then all of a sudden the Spirit takes hold of them and they're jumping over pews and running down the aisles and rolling in the aisles and dancing and shouting and screaming and yelling. And once again, the devil has robbed them of a blessing that God has in store for them. It's because of fear. A lot of people don't invite people to church. They don't tell them about church. They don't tell them about their Savior because of fear. Fear of rejection. They're afraid of what their friends might think. Oh, I can't ask him to come to church. What will he think about me? If I ask him to come to church, then he's going to know I'm a Christian. And I can't drink with him no more. I can't tell him no dirty jokes no more. I can't do the things that I'm comfortable doing. You see, you know, there. I want to tell you, you know, there's a couple of guys in my life. I have a business, and I've got several builders that I work for. And there's two guys that I work for, and both of them are here today. And you know, all the other builders are struggling, but these two guys. And the thing that I've noticed is that on their jobs, it's peaceful. On their jobs, there ain't a bunch of screaming and cussing and yelling. On their jobs, the guys that work for them, they know. They know what they stand for. They know who they are. And you know what? God rewards that. God rewards that because they took a stand. And they said, this is what I believe, and this is the way we're going to do it. You see, a lot of times the devil will put thoughts in our minds to make us think that, man, if I invite my neighbors to church, they're going to, man, it's going to be terrible. Then they're going to be over here every night, and they're going to want to have a Bible study, and they're going to want to have prayer meetings, and then they're going to get all holy, and they're, you know, or maybe if I invite my neighbors to church, then they're going to think I'm godly, and they're going to start asking me a bunch of questions about the Bible, and I don't know nothing about the Bible because I hadn't picked it up since I got saved 22 years ago. And so the devil puts all of these fears. And I told the story. I know several of you have heard this story. But every time that I think about this, I think of a little girl that was in the eighth grade about 15 years ago. And she was in mine and Pam's youth group. She wasn't real pretty. Matter of fact, she was ugly. She didn't have a lot of friends. She wasn't popular at all. At all. But one Sunday night, I was teaching in youth, and I was talking about being a witness and inviting your friends and encouraging your friends and telling them about Jesus. And you know what this little girl did? She started doing it. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll make you a promise. I said, if you don't feel comfortable telling your friends about Jesus, if you'll just get them in the door here, I'll tell them. And they'll get saved. Over a period of about 2 years, that little girl that was in eighth grade brought over 300 kids to youth that got saved by herself. She graduated from high school. She was homecoming queen. Most popular kid in school. Because she made a stand. You see, the devil tried to convince her that if she made a stand for Jesus, that she'd be an outcast. But in all actuality, when she made a stand for Jesus, he blessed her. You see, he blessed her. The thing that I was preparing, and as I was preparing this sermon, the Lord reminded me of another sermon that I did, and I want to share a little bit of that. So you're kind of getting three for the price of one this morning, all right? So in Luke chapter 14, I want to read this to you, this parable. Because this is just good stuff. In Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12, he said also to the man who invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Verse 15 says, when one of those who had reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time, the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That's pretty interesting. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. I love that story. I love that parable because I think that it shows the heart of our Jesus. And he's saying, go out and reach out to those people that nobody wants to reach out to. Go out into the highways and the byways and reach those that no one wants anything to do. You see, it's real easy for us to invite our best friends to go out to eat. You see, like, for instance, Joey Gardner is one of my best friends in the whole wide world. And I like to go out to eat with him because I love to fellowship with him and his wife. We're great friends. But I also know that most of the time, Joey ain't going to let me pay. Okay? Now listen, and I'm kidding about that, but what I'm saying is this. It's a lot of times the reason that we want to fellowship with people is not because we're really concerned about them. Now, don't shout me down here. But a lot of times the reason we want to fellowship with people is because what they can give to us. That's when you should have said amen. Okay? A lot of times it's real easy for us to fellowship with people when we know that they got something to give. We know that, hey, we want to be a part of what's going on with them. We want to be a part of their life. They got it happening. We want to fellowship with them because, hey, they're cool. We want to fellowship with them because, hey, they got lots of money. Or they got a big house. Or they got a lake house. Or they got a house in the mountains where we can go stay and go skiing for free. Hey, they got all of these things. Hey, we need to hang out with those folks. But what about the guy that lives down the street that ain't got nothing? What about the lady that is separated from her husband or is a widow or has been divorced and has got 4 or 5 or 6 little kids that she's trying to raise on her own and she doesn't have nothing to give back? What about that person? What about the homeless person? What about the people that are down here in the nursing home that they're lucky if their kids or their grandkids come to see them once or twice a week? They're lucky. What about the little kid that's got a smile from ear to ear that just loves everybody and everything, but he don't have nothing to give other than a big old hug? What about the teenager that is the biggest pain in the backside? What about a whole group of teenagers that you take skiing and they're all a pain? See, people don't want to reach out to that group. Why? Because in their eyes, right now, they have nothing to give. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Timmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That's not what it's about. You see, we have a Savior, we have the answer, and we live in a world that needs that Savior, that needs that answer. And we should be excited to share that with them. So I'm going to give you a few things that will help you to invite people to church, or to invite them to come to your house, or to invite them to lunch so that you can share about Jesus with them. The first thing that we need to do is we need to pray for them. In 2 Corinthians, I want to read this scripture to you. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's why we need to pray for them. The devil's blinded them. The devil has convinced them that what the world has to offer is good. We need to pray that God will take off the blinders. The second thing is you need to get a strategy. You see, a lot of us go around and we'll come in contact with somebody and we'll say, "Hey, you ought to come to church Sunday." And then we leave and we're feeling real good about ourselves because, "Hey, I just invited somebody to church, Jack." Right? But we actually, what we need to do is we need to get a strategy. We need to follow up. You see, and the thing that I have learned, let me tell you something. Pam and I have had the privilege of leading thousands of kids, little and teenagers, to Christ. Because we've had some amazing helpers and workers that have helped us do that. But one of the things that I learned about kids and teenagers and grown-ups is they all like to eat. If you get them sitting down to eat, boom, they're yours. You got a strategy. You know, the greatest business deals in the world are made over meals. The greatest introduction in the world can be made over a meal. Get a strategy. Make a plan. You see, what we have to do is a lot of times what we do is we say, "Oh, I'm going to invite this person and that person and this person and that person." And we do invite them, but we don't really compel them to come. So what we need to do is we need to establish a list of people that we're going to invite. We need to pray for them. We need to call their names out. And then we need to compel them just like the servant did in the parable. Jesus said, "Go out and compel them to come in. Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday and afterwards I'll buy your lunch. Hey, why don't you come to church with me? I'll come by and pick you up." Do you know how many kids have gotten saved because somebody was compelled to go pick them up? That's all it took, was just picking them up. I personally saw the whole city of Alvord get saved that way. Kids. I'm talking hundreds. I saw hundreds of teenagers from Decatur High School get saved because somebody went and picked them up. You see, we got to compel them. We got to give them a reason to come. Never, never, never give up on them. "Pastor Tim, I've been trying to get my dad to come to church for 30 years. I've been telling my brother-in-law, that no good bum heathen, I've been telling him about Jesus, and I've been telling him for 30 years he's going to hell. And then one day, somebody compels them. One day, they say yes instead of no. Why? Because somebody didn't give up. I was raised in church my whole life. Godly parents. And I got up older and I went to Bible college and I preached and I traveled. And then I got involved in a career and had a very successful career. And all of a sudden I found myself putting more emphasis on that career than I was on any other thing in my life, including God. And the next thing you know, I went from this godly young man, anointed preacher of God, to a guy that was hanging out in bars. But you know what? There was this little bitty lady called my mom who didn't give up. She stayed on her knees and she prayed for me. She didn't give up. She didn't quit. She kept praying until the day I got my life straightened back out. Don't give up. The last thing that I want to share with you this morning is that a church without walls is an inviting church. And what I mean by that is that when people come here, they feel welcome. Now, there's a lot of thought on that. But I want to read something to you out of Galatians chapter 5. Starting in verse 16, says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now listen to this. Starting in verse 19, this is what the world has to offer. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But this is what the inviting church has to offer, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what a church without walls has that makes it so inviting. That's what you as the church have, the fruit of the Spirit. That's why people want to be around you. That's why they want to hang out with you. Because of the fruit of the Spirit that is relevant in your life. And so you see, we have to reach out. In conclusion, I want to share this with you. We have to reach out. We have to reach out to those that nobody wants to reach. And we have to do it in a way that's inviting. That says, you know what? I love you. I care about you. And the same joy and the same peace and the same happiness that I have in my life, I can tell you how to have that. I can tell you how to have it. That's what we need to be doing. And in saying that, I want to tell you about something that's happened here at the church this past week. Now, since the day we started in December, God has continually blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And every time I think that I'm going to get a breath of air to kind of catch my breath and slow down, then all of a sudden God says, here you go. Now let's do this. So, in case you didn't recognize it this morning, we got a bunch of kiddos, and I love kiddos. And it has really been burdensome to me that our kiddos have been cramped over here in this office in a very uncool office atmosphere is where they have children's church. And so I began to look, and I called every vacant building around here to see, and man, this building right back here, I thought, boy, that would be perfect. It's about 3,000 square feet, la-da-da-da-da. And I called, and they said, oh, we'd be happy to lease that to you for $4,000 a month. That ain't going to work at this point. So then I started asking the different restaurants around town, and finally the one right next door, I told you he had agreed to let us use it on Sunday morning and not charge us because they're not open on Sundays. And I thought, man, that's awesome. What an awesome thing for him to do. But the problem is it's still not cool. Okay? It's tables where the kids can sit, and it's not theirs. And so we were just, but it would work. It would work for the time being. So we just prayed about it. And so Thursday, I was sitting in my office, and my barber, yes, I have a barber, okay, right across the street, okay? I've been going to him for years. He's a neat, neat man, and he loves the Lord. And every time I go in there, you can find out more information in the barber shop than you ever could in a beauty shop. I'm just telling you, okay? I just want, and so, you know, used to I would go about once every 3 or 4 months. Now I go about every week just to, okay, what's happening now? What, you know, because he knows all the scoop on all the buildings and all the real estate. So Thursday he comes to my office and he says, Pastor Tim, got a deal for you, and you just got to know this guy. He's always whistling, always happy. He said, shop right next to me, the guy moved out, and they're fixing to rent it. I told him you wanted it. I said, what? He said, yeah, it's a great deal. You need to go over there and see it. So we went over, and we looked at it. And to make a long story short, we now have a children's church, nursery, and preschool right across the street. And I'm glad you guys are clapping and you're happy because between now and next Sunday, when this place is going to be packed, we got to get that ready, okay? So you got to put on your jeans, okay? Put on your old t-shirts and bring your paintbrushes and your hammers because we're going to hang some sheetrock, we're going to hang a door, we're going to do some painting, and we're going to build a stage, and we're going to put some video games in there, and we're going to make it cool. Okay? And you say, well, Pastor Tim, why don't we just pay to have that done? Because we're 4 months old. And because it's going to build some great friendships. And we're going to bond and we're going to learn in the very beginning to work together and to build things and to take ownership and say, hey, we're doing this. We're doing this for the kingdom. We're going to do it. And next Sunday, when this thing is packed out, because guys, we have done some major advertising that's going to hit this week. Okay? And if every one of you brought one person, we'd be in trouble next week already. But we're going to be in lots of trouble next week, and that's great. Praise God. We're going to pack it out, and we're going to tell people about Jesus, and we're going to get them saved, and then the following week, we're going to baptize them. We're going to do it. But we have an opportunity to reach out to the most important people in the world, and that's kids. And we're going to build a children's church and a youth center right across the street because the youth are going to use it on Wednesday nights. And it's going to be cool. And it's going to be fun. And it's going to just cause a lot of really neat bonding with our teenagers and our kids. And it's going to be something they're going to be proud of. Instead of saying, I go to children's church in Pastor Tim's office. Okay? We're going to do it. So, with that being said, since we started in December, not one time have I ever even taken up an offering or have I ever said, we need money. Okay? We don't need money today. God's our provider. But if God lays it on your heart to give over and above your tithes and your offerings to help us, because we're going to buy some video games, we're going to buy some TVs, we're going to buy some stuff like that. We need to buy some construction equipment. If God's laid that on your heart to do that, I'm just asking you, just put it in an offering basket, just write out a separate check, or you can use an offering envelope and just list on there that it's for Children's Church. And it will go directly to that. That's exactly what we'll use it for. And for those of you that want to help, if you can, we will be up here. I can tell you that we will be up here every evening this week. And you say, well, what time is evening? Well, I'm going to leave the office at 5 and I'm going right over there. As a matter of fact, me and Dean, he doesn't know this yet, will probably be over there during the day. Okay? So, if you're off during the day and you want to help, then I want you to come help. And something else that, as I right before I close, I saw something this week and it touched my heart. There's a lady in our church that's been coming for the past couple of weeks. And I can say this, I can say that I don't know her very well, but her reputation in this county is absolutely amazing because she helps so many people. And last week I saw something that my daughter had shown me that was on Facebook where that she was helping a single mom paint a house and she needed some help. And so she didn't know I'm doing this, but she's all the time doing stuff like that. And if you're one of those people that maybe you're retired or maybe you are off 7 days and work 7 or something like that, and you say, you know what, I'd like to help with some stuff like that. If that's you, if you would contact the church office and let us know so that we can get your name and number so that whenever she's doing one of these thousands of projects that she does, we can get her some help. Because you see, that's part of going out. Okay? That's what the church is about. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Tim, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never made Him Lord of my life, and I want to do that today. I want to know that I'm born again. I want to know that I'm saved. I've never asked Him into my heart. I want to do that today. If that's you, would you lift your hand? We want to pray with you. So I want to ask Jesus into my heart. Things aren't going the way that I thought they would go in my life. I haven't been serving God. I know that I got saved at one time in my life, and maybe I used to serve God, but I haven't been doing that lately, and I need to make things right between me and God. I want to make a commitment today to rededicate my life. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I see that hand. You say, I want to make a change. I want to serve God with all my heart. I don't want to play games anymore. I want the real deal. If that's you, would you lift your hand? See that hand? Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for those that are here this morning that would say that Father, I'm sorry. I need to rededicate my life. I want to serve you with all my heart. And Lord, I ask you to minister to them, minister to their hearts, minister healing to them, Father God. Lord, we pray for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you watch over us and you protect us, that you give us strength and encouragement. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus as we leave today, Father God, that you help us, that you lead us, you guide us, you direct us. I thank you, Father, that you encourage us to be inviting, to invite people to church, to invite people, most of all, into the kingdom of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last thing that we're going to do this morning is I've had several people come to me over the past weeks and say, I want to join the church. And so this morning what we want to do is if we have made a handout, we've put them on the back table for you guys to read through it that tells you what our tenets of faith are, what we believe, what we're all about. And if you've read that and you've prayed about it and you say, this is what I want to be a part of, then we want to give you an opportunity to do that. And I'm going to just invite you to come on down. And we've got a form that we want you to fill out. And Eddie's going to play. And I just want, if you'd say, I want to join the church, I just want you to come on down here. Come up on the stage, and we're all going to pray together. If that's you, just come on down.